I hope you like the old-fashioned hymns that we play here, because we love them, and to know so many people today just don't seem to understand what these hymns are all about. But if you ever listen to them, you'll find out they have a real message about the Lord God of heaven and how we need that today. Take your Bibles now, and if you possibly can, and turn with me to John chapter 3, and I'm going to read beginning verses 14 down through verse 21. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deed may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What an awful statement this is. Listen to it, if you will. This is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Our subject today is man's attempt to escape responsibility. Every individual is responsible unto God. We need to understand that. You cannot accept the responsibility of your son, of your daughter, of your uncle, your aunt, your father, or your mother, or anybody else. Every individual is responsible for himself or herself unto the Lord God of heaven. Now, the sad commentary of today is this, that this is not known. And as a result, our world is going on in an erratic manner today because of the efforts of man to escape the blame and shift personal responsibility. Proof of this is seen in the reports of our government that tell us very clearly we are way down deep in debt, and yet at the same time they try to tell us there's a surplus. And we find, beloved, that's not true. This is nothing double talk, nothing but double talk, and it's a smokescreen in an attempt to place the blame on someone else or to pass the buck, because reality will not be faced. This attitude not only comes from the government, it comes from every individual, unless and until God opens that heart and enables them to take the blame. Yet man is responsible before God, and man's attempt to escape responsibility is something else. This attitude of trying to escape the responsibility has come to us from the Garden of Eden. Man sinned in the Garden of Eden, and we find it's the effort to escape responsibility is a part of the effect of the fall in the Garden of Eden. Turn with me now, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, and look with me in verse 10 through 12, where we read, "And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Here you see the passing of the buck, the attempt to shift the blame from one to another, but to no avail. What happened in the Garden of Eden is still going on at this present hour. So we need not to be surprised that all the double talk that's going on at this present day is just the plain, simple evidence that man will not take the blame unless he's enabled to do so by the Lord. Now, in our lesson today, we shall discuss our subject from a twofold aspect. First, the realm of responsibility, and then secondly, the attempt of man to escape responsibility. Look again at our text in John chapter 3 and verses 19 and 20, where we read, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Here we see the Word of God stating plainly that man's deeds are evil. Man loves darkness, and man hates the light of God, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said, "I am the light of the world," proving beyond the shadow of a doubt that every individual who is an unsaved person hates God. Now, this responsibility is resting upon every individual, And the only way it can be taken care of is for that individual to get saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's view the deeds of man for just a few moments, and we see what these deeds consist of. We can look at them and see that the actions of man are merely the fruit of what is in the heart. Therefore, we see that God holds man responsible for the condition of his heart and states clearly that man is in need of a new heart, which only the Lord God of heaven can give. Let me give you a clear-cut example so there will be no misunderstanding. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew, chapter 12, where we read, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Now isn't that plain? Here we see God holding man to be responsible for his words that he utters, whether they be idle, or whether they be foolish, or whether they be intended, when they've been spoken, or whatever it is. Every idle word that man speaks is going to give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Next, we see that God holds man responsible for the thoughts and intents of the heart. Turn again, if you will, to the book of Matthew, where we read in chapter 5, verses 27 and 28, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Here is set forth the responsibility of man with regard to his heart, and how we need to heed the word of God, where he declares, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Are you still listening? Oh, I hope and pray that you are. Your reaction to this radio program reveals the condition of your heart before God. Some listen attentively, some listen to criticize, while others will no longer even tune in, whatever. All this sets forth the true intents and the condition of the heart. But remember one thing, my radio friend, God holds you responsible for the thoughts and intents of your heart, and one day soon you will give an account unto the Lord God of heaven for all of this. You see, God has made you a responsible being, and your responsibility starts at the beginning of your life. Man's responsibility extends not only to man's words and deeds, as well as the thoughts and intents of his heart, but man is also held responsible for the treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, some are saying, "This is impossible, because I was not alive at that time." This portion is true, but our representatives were alive, and their actions were our actions. Now let me show you this, if I may. Turn to John chapter 19 and verses 19 and 20, where we read, "And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin." These three languages show a cross-section of humanity, my friend, in case you didn't know it. The Hebrew stands for the religious aspect of the world, the Greek for the intellectual aspect, and the Latin for the governmental aspect. Combining these three, you have the reaction of mankind against Christ, which reaction is one of enmity. All the world combined against the Lord Jesus Christ, and that combination has not ceased to operate in all the years since the crucifixion. Now turn again, if you will, to the book of Acts for just a moment or two, where we read in chapter 4 these words, "The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate," listen now, "with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Have you listened to that, my friend? Are you still listening? Listen carefully. You and I are responsible for the crucifixion and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, whether you believe it or not, There is a first-degree murder charge laid up in heaven against every sinner. That charge is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ was put to death deliberately. It wasn't a happenstance. He was put to death deliberately. And the intellectual society, the governmental society, and the religious society all teamed up together against the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say again, it hasn't changed one iota in this present hour. Whether you believe it or not, you and I are responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. God holds us all responsible for his death, and there is no escaping this responsibility. Now, how come, preacher? Well, it was this. It was sin that nailed Christ to the cross of Calvary, your sin and mine. Therefore, individually and collectively, we are all responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are as responsible as those who actually were there when Christ was nailed on the tree. This sin must be repented of and forgiven by the Lord. Therefore, every individual needs to repent before God and sue for mercy. Have you ever repented before God of who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under? Oh, my friend, if you're not, you're in a precarious position because you are under the judgment of God Almighty. While God holds man responsible, man tries to evade, sidestep, or erase that responsibility resting upon him. Look at our text again. For this is a condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I wonder how many of you are becoming uneasy even now as this message goes home to your heart. You do not like the truth, because it is the truth, and, my friend, you can't deny it, can you? It hurts, doesn't it? Yes, the truth hurts. Your reaction, my friend, whether outward or inward, is known unto God. Sooner or later, the enmity against the truth is unveiled, because no sinner can continue to sit on the fence very long. As the Scripture declared, and it is so, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You may try to cover up your feelings by religious pretension, as the Pharisees did, but, beloved, this pretension is known unto God, and sooner or later will be unveiled before all mankind. Yet you and you alone are responsible for your actions, intent of the heart, as well as your deeds before God. Upon this smokescreen of deception, God writes damnation, because my Lord hates deception of every kind. While man tries to evade and erase or rationalize his personal responsibility, God does not change whatever. In Romans chapter 14 and verses 11 and 12, we read, "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself unto God." There is coming a time, and it will be soon, listen, friend, when every individual will stand by himself or herself before the Lord to give an account of their words, their deeds, their actions, and the intents of the heart, as well as an accountability for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you a question. Are you ready to meet God under those circumstances? You are not, unless you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as I said before, don't say again, don't trifle with your immortal soul. You see, God has made you a creature of eternity, and you have an immortal soul. When you leave this earth, if you leave it without Christ, rest assured of this, you'll go to a devil's hell. God is not going to change, and God still says, and it's still so, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Those who die without Christ go to the center of the earth, which is the location of Hades, which is a temporary place. It's a place of fire. It's a place of weeping and wailing and the gnashing of teeth, but it's only a temporary place, because every individual who's without Christ and dies and goes there, they'll stand one day before the great white throne judgment, and then the book of life will be opened. They'll be shown absolutely their name was not in the book of life, and then we find they'll be judged according to their deeds that they have done or the works that they have done, and then if their name is not found written in the Lamb's book of life, they will be picked up and cast into the lake of fire, and they'll suffer and die and burn forever and ever and ever, and they'll never stop burning. You see, my friend, your sin has to be paid for one way or the other. Your sin is either going to be paid for by you through the countless ages of eternity, and remember, the wages of sin is death, or you'll have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and then when my Lord saves you, it will be because of God's love, grace, and mercy extended to you, and then the Lord Jesus Christ will become your substitute, and he'll find out that he paid for your sin. Now, some people are saying, well, I'll take a chance, you know. Well, don't be a fool and say, I'll take a chance, because there are no chances with God. You are in one of two classes. You are either in Adam or in Christ, depending on whether or not you have ever repented of your sin, come to Christ, and been washed in his precious blood. If Christ is not your Lord and your Savior, you are still in Adam. And in Adam, the Scripture says, all die, but in Christ shall all be made alive. Your only solution and hope is by the person and work of my blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. His life was a sinless life, thus fulfilling the law of God, and his death was a death in which he took our sin and bore it in his body on the tree and paid for our sin by his death. You see, through Christ, God can forgive guilty sinners who are guilty, helpless, and vile. Which is it for you at this hour? Is it Christ or hell? Remember, you are responsible before God, and this responsibility is greater than ever before since you have heard this message. It is my hope that even now something might have been said, that God will take the arrow of conviction and prick your soul, and that you'll be enabled by him to repent before God and ask the Lord to have mercy upon you. As I've said before, it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you, when it does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and save you. All my hope and prayer is that if you don't know him, something has been said that will stir your heart and bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier of the Mercies of God saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.
Thank you for joining us this week for this edition of the Mercies of God. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing in your life, and that you take Pastor Peter Nortier's very practical preaching to heart and put it to work in your life, in your home, in your workplace, and in your world. These messages may have been preached many years ago, but there is a generation that has not been blessed with these messages from Pastor Peter Nortier. If you've been blessed by this message and you would like to help share this message with others, would you prayerfully consider partnering with this ministry as the Spirit of God leads? Please write us at The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. That address once again, The Mercies of God, P.O. Box 150-439, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49515. Your gifts of financial support to this ministry are greatly appreciated and will be invested in the kingdom of God. Until next week, please remember to pray daily, seek the face of the Father, and to always ask for the mercies of God.